If you got so much testosterone, you don't know what to do with it, well, this is the right show for you. This is Grapple Talk with Nick Ragner and A.C. Riley. That's right, Grapple Talk, the man show for the true hombre in all of us. So stick around. You're about to be blown away.
The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts! And welcome to Grapple Talk. This is episode numero 29?
Nope, it's number 30.
What?
Whoa!
30, dude.
We're having a middle-aged crisis?
Oh, yeah.
It's episode 30 for Grapple Talk, and we have a huge show for you today. We are sitting down with the one, the only, Butchie Mania. Butchie Davis is coming on Grapple Talk. He is going to be talking about his upbringings in the business and all that fun stuff. And but before we get to our spotlight in the squared circle or any of other shenanigans that we like to pull during Grapple Talk, we need to preview the upcoming shows this weekend.
Upcoming shows!
And because I am portraying Nikki Douche right now, I'm going to cut both of you, Alex Riley, I mean AC Riley,
whoops,
and Jesse Von Rage off.
Every show, man.
Before,
hey, you got to do what you got to do.
I'm going to cut both of you off and not let you talk at all, and I'm going to start off with the first preview of shows is up. Are you guys okay with that?
Hey, that's fine with me, man. You just keep on talking.
You're going to cut us off and then ask if that's okay?
You drinking some Faygo right now? Is that what you're drinking? Some Diet Faygo?
Yeah,
dude. Keep that figure in?
Well, he was like 20 minutes late showing up. I guess we can give him the spotlight right now.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, come on, man.
Go for it, man.
People don't need to know that I'm lazy and stuff. This upcoming Friday, we have Freelance Productions presenting. Is it Freelance or Freelance?
It's Freelance, dude.
It's Freelance Productions presenting The Rebellion Chapter 1. That's going to be at the Abbey, 3420 West Grace Street in Chicago, Illinois. It's the Battle of the Bulls. We're going to see Chris Castro taking on Rough Crossing. Also, CJ Idol, Melanie Cruz, and Jordan Grace will all be there. All of the matches, get this, guys, their notice qualification.
Yeah.
Shut the front door.
I'm not shutting. I'm opening it wide open for everybody to hear.
Wow.
Also, there's going to be live music from 90s alternative rock cover band Destination Unknown. So what is 90s alternative rock, by the way?
Bush.
Is that what it is?
It's going to be a lot of Bush. Where's the rain? Yeah, it's going to be a lot of that. I would assume Soundgarden.
It's
a black hole, son.
Well,
won't you
come to Freelance Productions presents The Rebellion. That's what he'd probably sing. Doors open at 9, bell time at 10. Tickets are $10 to sit on the floor, $15 for balcony seating. It's $20 for VIP seats, which I'm assuming are really nice seats. It's a 21 and older show, so you got to be of age pretty much to go. Mm-hmm. And you can get your tickets and details on their website. You can check out www.freelancewrestling.com. That's Freelance Productions presenting The Rebellion Chapter 1.
Yeah, it's somebody you don't really see. There's a lot of shows that are 21 and over, so this one's definitely going to have an adult flair.
Oh, yeah. It's going to have a lot of F-bombs dropped, and you know how many wrestlers in the back just can't wait to drop those F-bombs.
What do you mean? Like, what kind of F-bombs?
Well, how many times have we been
hey,
in the locker?
Hey, nice fucking suplex! Like that kind of an F-bomb?
Yeah, pretty much. And then on top of that, you got how many guys in the background where you know they have to be reminded on a constant basis, this is a family show, so no swearing. So they won't get that warning.
Yeah, now they can...
They'd be like,
oh,
hey, this is a 21-plus show, go nuts. Whatever your heart's desire says, go for it and talk about it. But anyways, on Saturday, we got Powell's Summer Explosion. That's an X-plosion because it's that extreme. It's at the VFW Post, 9284, 400 Devon Avenue.
Devon!
Yes.
Devon!
And that would actually be in Elk Grove, Illinois. And I'm not really sure how far of a distance Chicago from Elk Grove is, but you could maybe kind of do a double shot. It's two different days, so you could definitely make a trip out of it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of great matches going on for Powell's Summer Explosion. We got Mitch Blake defending the title against Joey Cease. A TV title match. You have loser leaving for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Braun the Lumberjack, one of many Lumberjacks in the Midwest, taking on Jimmy Blaze. I believe they're also the Greek GQ Suave He wrestled for BCW just last week.
Okay.
I believe he'll be at the show as well.
Okay.
I noticed him on the flyer, and now that I can put a name to a face, I thought I would just go ahead and say it.
It's kind of cool how that works out.
It is great. Doors open at 6, bell time at 7. Tickets are $10 for general admission, 15 in the front row. You can get the tickets online. They were having some problems with it, but now it's all good to go.
Is it all good to go?
You can pay on the website finally once again, www.powentertainment.com.
So it's not powentertainment.com. It's just www.powentertainment.com?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just one POW.
I'm just making sure. I want to order tickets. I just got to know.
Well, there you go, man.
Well, Summer Explosion should be pretty good. You're looking at the... some of the stipulations for the match in a world title match, it's going to be a 5-count pinfall. That's going to be interesting right there.
That's crazy.
That throws off a lot of dynamics there. And in the TV title match, loser leaves town for 6 months. That's basically traditional TV rules as well because summer hiatus.
Yeah, I know that you're a pretty big wrestling nut. Have you ever seen a 5-count pinfall match before?
No, not really.
Really?
It was more or less a gimmick that King Kong Bundy would actually use.
Because really?
Like, he would actually get the 3-count, and he's like, no, I want 5.
Oh,
so
really?
The guy would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's more of a nugget.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost more of an intimidation type of factor. He can keep a guy down for 5 instead of just 3.
Cool. You know what's really funny, though?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like you're going to have to wait a little bit longer to see a 5-count match because what are you and I going to be doing on that Saturday?
Well, we're going to be up in Gladstone, Michigan for UPW Returns the 4th. This one's going to be interesting Saturday, June the 24th. You can find them on Facebook. Get the address there because I'm not going to repeat it here. Of course, fans pick the match. Will it be Taipei Deathmatch or a barbed wire bat match?
Oh,
Chase
boy.
McCoy will take on Peter B. Beautiful. And, of course, one of the big matches will be the Loser Leaves UPW match as Seth Gambino will be taking on Slick Rick. Now, Slick Rick is definitely the it's a cornerstone of UPW up there. He started the promotion with Peter B. Beautiful. They're best friends and stuff like that. Seth Gambino came in with his Oshkosh Legion all and decided they were going to run roughshod over this company. Well, at the last show we were at, Lord of the Hardcore, things kind of fell apart for all. And right now, it seems like they're going to pull out all the stops and see if they can just take over the company flat out.
Wow.
Of course, you're going to see Johnny Smash in probably the biggest match of his life as he'll be taking on Rhino.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Now, the crazy thing about Rhino is he will be at TNA Impact on Thursday and have to drive cross-country because Impact, of course, is taping in New York. He's got 19 hours on the road.
Wow.
I would hate to be Johnny Smash at this point in time. Of course, action starts at 6. Front row tickets are $20. General admission is $15. 10 for advanced tickets and 5 for kids. You can check them out at upwprowrestling.com.
And we got UPW Returns. Really quick, and it's not a rib at anybody.
Yeah.
But do you ever think... I mean, you kind of have to do it because, you know, otherwise it doesn't make sense for the website thing. But you ever think it's weird how it's like UPW Pro Wrestling? How it's like, it's like kind of
I see what you're saying.
Redundant, isn't it?
Because isn't UPW stand for Underground Pro Wrestling, right?
Underground Pro Wrestling, ProWrestling.com.
Well, you know, you can do what you want to do, I guess. It's the internet, right? I mean, there's pictures of cats in space.
That's very true. There's cats on a monorail.
Yeah,
monorail
it's called a
There's
meow-rail.
Cats riding pizzas on T-shirts. That's very different, and I think we're getting off topic. Let's get back to it. This Friday, you two are heading down to UPW on Saturday, but us three are heading to Winona on Friday for UPW. Oopsies.
Brown will be
EPW. Ryan Brown's going to be there?
Ryan Brown's going to be
it's
there,
It's EPW's yep. Black Horse Brawl, the second, the Brawl for it all. That's my Bob Uecker impression.
Wow.
It's going to be on Friday, June the 27th at the Black Horse Bar and Grill, 34648 Old Homer Road in Winona, Minnesota. EPW returning to the Black Horse Bar and Grill, which is what is being advertised right now as possibly their last show there. So, you know, that could be interesting. Hassan Payne taking on Chris Steele. Hassan Payne, I know we were really impressed with him when he came down here to La Crosse to face Judge Jesse. And, you know, Chris Steele, a guy we haven't seen since he was training. So this should be, you know, that should be a really interesting matchup. Here's the interesting part of this matchup, Hassan Payne and Chris Steele. If Hassan Payne wins, he becomes the owner of the Black Horse. Hmm. But if Chris Steele wins, bartender of the Black Horse, Andre Klenecki?
I would say Klenecki, yeah.
Klenecki. He becomes the new owner. So obviously, I don't know what happened to the old owner. Maybe he just
hightailed it. I think he's planning on selling it.
He's probably planning on selling it, or whatever's going on. So regardless, there's going to be a new owner of the Black Horse Bar and Grill. There's going to be a new owner of the venue. So that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to see midget bowling with Bad Boy Brian. So if you've ever seen, if you like watching bowling, well, this is just going to be I guess, 100 times better, or maybe half. I don't know how
you're
going to
say it. A bowling ball with a midget.
That sounds awesome. If you ever had trouble sleeping because just part of your brain is like, you know what, I've always wanted to toss somebody down a lane and knock over some pins. Midget bowling sounds right up
your
alley.
I don't think a lot of people have that. Also going to be there, Rob Wire, Chief Atakulakula, Steve Stardom, Devlin Kane, and many more. You know, guys that we're very fond of. Doors open at 6, bell times at 7. Tickets are $10 for adults, $6 for kids ages 6 to 12, and 5 and under kids, well, they get in for free. You can get the details on their Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Elite Wrestling, and that's on Friday at the Black Horse Bar and Grill for Elite Pro Wrestling's possible final show in the Black Horse. And we're going to be there, so you should come on down too, because, hey, we're three really nice guys. We get along very well. We like walks on the beach, and I enjoy martinis, so that's how that works.
Well, that's great to know that you enjoy martinis. Now, looking at all these shows, there's different price structures and stuff like that for tickets. So the question this week is, how do these price structures actually determine your guys' ability to buy tickets? Would you rather pay the extra $5 for a front row seat or just go general admission?
We've talked about this pretty often too. Mm-hmm. And I don't, that's a good, you know, that's the best question, because we've always talked about, you know, the average fan comes to a show with what, $20, right?
Yeah, give or take.
A $20 bill, maybe, you know. Nowadays it's not super popular for people to carry around cash, so obviously it's $20 increments is pretty popular because, you know, ATMs, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends. You know, if I'm paying $15 to sit front row, and if I can get like a soda or something for the last $5, I'm cool with that. I'm not much of a guy to normally buy merch unless it's like a DVD or something like that, because, you know, that's the kind of stuff I like to take home with me if I take anything home. But, yeah, I mean, I think front row is definitely worth an extra, like, $5. I mean, unless, you know, you're paying out of the ass to sit front row. But, I mean, in my opinion, like, the closer you can get to the action, the better. You know, like, first was a good example, you know. Mm-hmm. But like we talked about there, it's like we could sit anywhere there and the seats were really good. But if we could have sat in the front row just to be that close to the action, you know, it's I feel like it's so much different to be 5 feet away from the guys instead of 15. But that's just my opinion.
What about you, AC?
See, I'm kind of on the opposite fence. I mean, just like he said, first wrestling, there wasn't a bad seat in the house. And I feel like that's something that you see a lot with a lot of venues lately is, for example, you know, we were at ACW and we were in commentary, and basically that, which was the back row, if you could pretty much say that, because we had rows in front of us and everything like
that. Yeah, but we had like a row in front of us. You know, yeah, second row, which okay. Happened to be a back row.
Okay, so bottom line, we weren't first row, but we still had pretty good a view of what was going on. And we kind of need to if we're going to be calling the matches anyway. But, you know, that's not the point. But, you know, first wrestling, even though we weren't first row, we got a good look at it. We were actually eye level from the ring, which was also great because, you know, it's just like when you're going to a movie theater. I personally don't like to sit in the front row because instead of, you know, being able to see at eye level, I have to like, hey, that's interesting of what's going on, because I have to look up, you know. But if I'm in the back row or even the middle, I can look straight at it. I can see the entire screen. And for me, I guess it depends. You know, in some of the venues that we've been to lately, I'm totally fine with the general admission because I don't think there will be a bad seat in the house. But if it's something like almost like the lacrosse center where just like these huge rows and just a huge coliseum, I would probably shell out an extra $5 so I could get a little bit closer to the wrestling action. I think it just depends on the venue. What about you, Jesse?
Well, basically, you brought up a good point with the lacrosse center. All three of us are very familiar with it. Impact Wrestling came through, what was it, last month? And yeah. One of the things they actually had was a almost like a VIP front row package that was $65. For a house show.
I'm waiting for you to tell me the comparison to
okay.
The not $65.
Okay, okay. Here's the crazy thing. The increments of scales, it went like 65, 55, 35. 35 was like the cheapest ticket for a house show.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
Pretty expensive.
All right. So when you're looking at the indie level, and you brought up a really good point about walking into a show with like maybe $20, and you got to think about, okay, what am I going to do for food? Do I want to get merch? It's almost like every time you go to like a rock concert or something like that, you already kind of like ticket away money for your ticket.
Right.
But you bring that extra money for the merch because like you want to walk away with a t-shirt. You want to walk away with a CD. You know, if you're at a wrestling show, you might want to get a shirt. You might want to get an autograph, an 8x10, maybe a DVD. I know a lot of the guys actually are selling, you know, DVDs now. Plus, we have Dustin coming up to most of the shows who's got probably the greatest tape library you're ever going to see.
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know, if we get to see him again, I really want to pick up that Bad News Brown DVD. I really do. Because Bad News Brown is amazing. If you're not watching him, you got to watch him at some point in time. Legit badass. But it comes to the point where when do independent pro wrestling companies draw the line how much they charge for tickets, because there might be people who are like, well, and I really want to bring my kids, but I really can't because I have to pay an extra $10 per kid.
You know, that's a really good point. And here's the way that I kind of think about it. It depends on where you're running, because if you're a promotion that runs just out of, you know, Timbuktu and then comes all the way and runs and, you know, whatever, like it, just completely different areas, it's hard to imagine trying to shell out your average $10, you know, wanted per show. Depending on, I guess, it goes through a bunch of different cycles too, because then when you get, as a promoter, you know, when you book certain talent, you need to make sure you make your money back. But then at the same time, if you're charging too much, is that going to turn people off? And the reason that I think, you know, if you're going to charge people that double digit dollar, that it could kind of hurt it a little bit too, is that if you're not running enough in a solidified area, if people see a poster, even if they like wrestling, if they're like, I don't know who any of these guys are, why would I want to? I mean, and it sucks, and it, you know, it's bad to think about, but it's you know, the idea behind paying $10 opposed to 9 or 8 actually means a lot, because adding that extra digit can turn some people off, especially if they don't exactly know what they're paying to see, regardless if the product's good or not. That's just my point of view.
No, I agree with that completely. And you know, one thing I notice a lot is, you know, even though last episode, I believe, is that I said that I only remember one thing for Economics 101 that people respond to incentive. I also remember supply and demand. So, you know, that's something, you know, for example, we're doing this on a Thursday. Guess what? I'm going to talk about wristbands at a bar. You know, it's $5, you know, all you care to drink, you know, within reason. You know, and you would think
we're not encouraging binge drinking here.
No,
on Grapple
Talk. I'm not encouraging it.
But if you are, do it.
I'm just pointing out is that for $5, you would think, oh, the bar is not going to make any money back on it. You know, it's going to be, you know, a complete, you know, burnout. You know, they're going to go so far in the red because of that idea. But in reality, that's one of their busiest nights, because they have everybody saying, you know what, I have $5, I want to go drink, why not? And it's just like that, where if you make it cheaper and you know that you'll draw based on the numbers that you can say. So if you decide, you know what, I want to do a $10 ticket, you know what, actually, I think I'll do pretty well. So I might lower down the ticket. People are going to say, wow, they actually lower the price. I actually have that money. That's great. I'm going to do that.
That's where the difference comes in, too, because, you know, I'm not saying tickets should be $5. That's super cheap. But at the same time, if you're looking for stragglers, like if you're running, like we talked about, if you're running at UW Lacrosse, and I mean, anybody can walk in, if your tickets are like $5, I mean, there you go. People might be walking by and being like, oh, $5, why not? If it's $10, they might be like, I don't know if I really want to shell that out if I'm just walking around. But if it's $5, I mean, it's $5. They might, you know, they might have a $5. They might have an Abe Lincoln on them, and they might be like, here, why not? I'll go to a show if I have nothing better to do. That, you know, that's,
yeah,
just,
definitely. We've seen local theaters actually take that premise too. Like Marcus is now running $5 Tuesdays.
Yeah,
doing
exactly.
Student Thursdays.
Reading my mind, man.
And of course, you know, you have like the Rivoli, and of course, there's one in Oshkosh. I guess you guys should really check out. What they've been doing is they've been playing 80s movies for $3.
That's
cool.
Wow.
Great,
I like
deal.
That. What kind of 80s movies?
Oh, Jaws, dude.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah, this week. We're gonna miss it.
Really?
It's on Friday. Yeah.
Oh wow, in Oshkosh.
In Oshkosh.
You're gonna go?
No, because we're gonna be at Elite Pro Wrestling, dude.
Oops.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's,
I was just seeing what your priorities were. I was just making sure. Yeah.
See, I agree with that completely, because there's been plenty of times if a new movie comes out of Marcus, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh man, I really want to see that movie. I don't want to see it for $15 though. That is not. I don't want to see it that bad. But then you're like, you know, back in the day before they even did $5 movies, you're like, you know what? I don't want to see it right now. I'll wait until it comes to Rivoli, because then it'll be cheaper. You can get a lot more for your buck. But now that they're doing the $5 Tuesday and Thursday, it's just like, I'm going to go wait until this day, and then they're going to get a lot more business those days.
It's
too.
The goofy, you know, thing that happens inside of our brains. If we know something's cheaper than it usually is, we want it. I mean, if we know that a wrestling show is normally $10, but it's being held for $5, we'll want to go because we save money. And, it, you know, like I was walking in Quick Trip today, and I went there to get milk and a soda because, hey, I needed milk for my cereal tomorrow, and I needed a soda because, hey, I enjoy drinking a soda. It soothes
my throat. Cereal?
No, not with my cereal. You
okay.
Who does that?
So anyway, so then I'm walking by the rollers, and they had egg rolls for $1. And normally they're like $1.50. But in my mind, I was like, dude, I'm saving 50 cents. Hook me up. But it's just 50 cents, you know? So it's a whole different dynamic when you're talking about wrestling shows. But still, that extra $5 can really mean a lot to somebody that might just be walking by looking to maybe have something to do. And that's, that could definitely grow your fan base.
So what's the ideal ticket price then for an indie show? I mean, since we're talking ticket prices, we got to wrap this up here quick so we can get Butchie Davis on the line. What is the ideal ticket price to get you guys in?
You know, I honestly, if it's $5, I will come. If I'm But no, realistically, I'll pay $10 to go see a show. But I'm just saying, if your show is $5, I mean, it'd be hard not to get me in the door.
What about you, AC?
See, I like the idea of $5, but I think it's depending on where you are. If you're just starting out in a place, you know, oh, we haven't really tried this area, let's just do $5 and kind of just poke the bear. But I mean, if you're in a place like, you know, First Ave, you know, and you, like, how much was their tickets? Like $20, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in a place that you know will draw absolutely 100% and you know that you can raise the price and you will still get the amount of attendance, I mean, I say go for it. But I would say for me, like, my range is 5 to 10. You know, so 5 would be great. 10, I'm not going overkill with it. But, I mean, obviously, I don't want to go into a show paying $50. That's just unrealistic. One thing I do like, though, that a lot of places are doing is that they're doing 5 and under are free because, let's face it, sometimes babysitters bail. They're like, sorry, I can't do this. And you're thinking, I really want to go to that show, but I really don't want to pay $10 for my kid. Oh, wait, I can get them for free. No problem.
Exactly.
And wow. Then you can turn them on to wrestling.
Wow, so you're saying wrestling fans actually have sex and can procreate and have kids. Of course, you got to remember with First Ave, they also had two bands plus Burlex. So, like, $20 was definitely a good value. I would have to say, like, I probably the most I would pay for a video show might be $15, especially okay. for an indie show. Because you got to look at it, it's like, yeah, a lot of these places, a lot of these companies, too, are basically using tickets to pay for the talent.
Yep.
Because a lot of places don't necessarily get sponsors, and I think that's a problem. That's why you're seeing the increased price in tickets. But coming up next, folks, of course, we're going to have Butch Davis at Spotlight on the Squared Circle right after this.
So you bit the dust. Big deal. Grapple Talk is on now with Nick Ragnar and A.C. Riley. For a limited time only, you can be part of the experience. Stick around. More Grapple Talks coming up. Now it's time for Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
We got Butchie Davis. He's a guy that is very well known.
Butchamania.
Butchamania. Butchamania's running wild on Grapple Talk. And he's a guy that has been a, you know, really, it seems like you cannot mention Butchie Davis' name and nobody will know who he is. So without further ado, Butchie, how you doing over there?
I'm good. Hey, I'm on Grapple Talk 30 with Slick Nitch and ACDC and Jesse the Body. Woo!
Hey, Butch, it's good to hear your voice, bud. Last time we saw you, you were kidnapped by Dayhawk. I gotta wonder, how did you get out of that predicament?
First of all, hey, thanks for having me on the program today, guys. You guys did a great job. Great stuff.
Well, I'm glad you're alive, you know.
Well, I came out their basement window and kind of just got out that way, you know, and kind of took a taxi home.
Well, yeah, you would think if Dayhawk was keeping prisoners or keeping company in the basement, you'd think he would try to make sure that they were, you know, welcome to stay there instead of leaving a window open.
I don't know if you want to really be welcomed in Dayhawk's basement. I mean, the guy's kind of a creepy dude, right?
I forgot to add the quotes. I apologize, yeah. But that was the point I was trying to get across. But anyways, you know, Butchie, just in the event that maybe somebody that's listening in that maybe hasn't heard about Butchie Davis, tell us a little bit about yourself for the people listening to Gravel Talk today.
Well, I guess Butchie Davis is kind of a fun-loving guy, living his dream for the last 10 years up in the Midwest here, and just kind of worked a little bit everywhere.
You know, I think
kind of living the dream again.
I think the you know, Butchie Davis, it's a really interesting dynamic. I think you don't see it a lot, especially around here. I got to know, where exactly did the whole the idea of Butchie Davis, where did that really come from?
Well, I guess, like everybody else's story, I've kind of my dream to, you know, be a pro wrestler. But I guess it's my sophomore year, probably in 92, in study hall. I was kind of drawing up what I was going to look like or what my gimmick or my gear would be. And actually got the paper still. I kind of drew, what haven't been done, you know? I don't have a physique like Scott Steiner or Lex Luger, so I kind of grew up, nobody wore a helmet before, really, so helmet, the glasses, you know, and kind of a red shirt and black tights, and kind of went with that, and, you know, 10, 12 years later, that's kind of how I started.
Well, it's always kind of cool because you've been a natural athlete your whole life. You were a starting right tackle in football. You wrestled as a heavyweight in 275. That's always very challenging.
Yeah, it is.
Plus the shot put. I mean, so pro wrestling and athletics was something you always wanted to get into. Where did one lead into the other, I want to ask?
Well, like you said, like, I was always in sports. I was, when track got over, you know, and, you know, wrestling or the other way around or football. I was always in something, you know, I was always in shape. And like I said, I never had the physique of Lex Luger, but I always kind of worked out. I was always in the gym and worked at a farm growing up. So, I mean, I was always doing something, keeping active, you know.
Let's talk about who Butchie Davis is. I mean, I got to know, you know, what were your inspirations, I guess, growing up? You know, who did you like watching? Where did you get a lot of the stuff that you use today inside the ring?
I kind of a combination between, like, George Animal Steel and Eugene. But kind of funny is when I drew the plan up, Eugene wasn't even around. So I was thinking more of, like, George Animal Steel, you know, character and... you know, just not that much fur and not having my shirt off.
So, one thing that I noticed, Butchie, is that you were trained by three very different individuals. You have Mike the Bull Geike, who likes to really fight with a MMA style because that's what he was doing for some time. You got Ace Spade, who, you know, is a bit of a wild card. We can probably say that. And then, of course, superstar Steve Stardom, who is about as wild card gets. And not only that, but he's also a very old-school psychology heel. So how did it feel getting trained by three completely different individuals, and how did you take some of that into Butchie Davis we see today?
Yeah, I see. Three different kind of different things there. You know, Mike the Bull Geike, you know, gets to be a good friend. I consider him a mentor. I mean, you know, he's in his 50s, but, you know, he can make me tap out. He knows MMA submission moves and stuff like that, and we both are have a background in amateur wrestling, so we kind of hit it off there. Ace Spade, you know, I'm doing stuff, I guess, was I was 360 pounds at the time, and he was trying to train me, like, self-luchador or stuff, but yeah, I'm not a high flyer, and I need to stay on the ground. And Steve and Superstar Steve Stardom, you know, well, can't say enough about that. I'm very old school, so I mean, it's like, so I took a lot from all three of them, and then, you know, I learned a lot from, you know, different guys like Red Lightning, your Ian Xavier's, you know, off pointers and being champs with them and critiquing my matches, you know, so.
You know, one thing I think that if people haven't seen you, you know, one thing that you're really good at doing is getting the fans involved. You're very good at entertaining an audience. You know, is that something that you kind of wanted to do when you broke into the business? I know a lot of guys, you know, when they first come in, they're like, oh, I want to hit shooting star presses, or, oh, I want to be able to do a, you know, a nice drop kick. But, you know, as I see with Butchie Davis, you're one of the best in the biz at getting the fans involved, and that's really important in the indie scene. Is that something you always envision yourself doing?
Yeah, you know, just like a kid, you know, you see Hulk Hogan getting the crowds pop, and they don't know what pop means. It means getting excited, you know, the crowd excited and stuff. And I guess I love one-on-one with the fans. I'm out there before the shows, I'm there during the shows, I'm out there after the shows. Whether they're want pictures, autographs, you know, hanging out with the fans. I'm a fan, you know. That's always, you know, we're all kind of all fans. I mean, and there's not enough of that. I mean, I'm living my dream, and they're coming to pay their money to see me or somebody in the car. I'm going to hang out with them, and that kind of leads in. I did appearances at weddings, birthday parties, no funerals yet, but, you know, I never know.
Well, maybe one of those days we actually will see you at a funeral wrestling. One of the cool things about Butchie Davis, and I think we all can agree, is you are very good at marketing yourself. You're one of the first guys I can remember when we broke into the scene who had his own merch. You had multiple different T-shirts. You had the helmets. You had the trading cards and stuff like that. Being an innovator, really, I would say, on this side of the state,
yeah,
when it came to merchandising, do you feel that branding yourself with the fans is something that more wrestlers need to do?
I agree. There's not enough of that, you know. It's like, think back when you were, you know, a fan as a kid, you went to a show, you know, just them to come over to hit your hand or hang out with you, you know, and I've been blessed, the guys I've met, you know, along the way and got to hang out with, and pretty cool.
You know, just talking to you, it sounds like, you know, and I mean, talking to you obviously before, after shows, what have you, you're a very humble guy, but I got to know, you know, nowadays it seems like you're, you know, you're the type of guy that people come to for advice. I know that, you know, fairly often me, AC Riley, Jesse Von Rudin will come to you and we like to discuss shows and things like that because we really appreciate your perspective. I mean, I got to know, just, you know, based on, you know, talking about your upbringings, your starting outs in the business, how does that really feel? I mean, you know, to know that you have the respect of guys that are wanting to know your opinion on independent professional wrestling manners.
It feels really good. It, you know, I've always been a guy kind of like different fans. I've always been behind the scenes, whether I'm bringing a ring in for a promotion or, you know, a lot of younger guys that are in this now. I never trained anybody, but they came to me and kind of pointed in the right direction. There's a lot of guys, you know, I'll listen to the podcast now that, you know, hey, you know, we're going to be trained by it. Or what's, can you help me get my foot in the door, you know? And but it feels good. I have got a few guys, you know, starting the businesses, you know, and I've been on shows where a promoter comes to me, hey, I'm having a problem with this guy, and I kind of leave that. As everybody probably don't know, I used to run my own show, the first WPW in Wisconsin.
You know, you said it perfectly, is that, you know, you have a lot of your name carries a lot of weight. You know, we've definitely noticed that throughout the shows we've been to. And you can even go to a show just to attend, and people will flock to you. You don't need to even get up and go approach people on your own. One thing that I wanted to kind of wind back a little bit, Todd, is that you mentioned that you still haven't wrestled a funeral yet. But it was funny because we had Lumberjack on the show a while back, and he actually did wrestle for a funeral, if you remember that right, Nick. That being said, I wanted to ask you, what is the weirdest place that you've ever wrestled in front of a crowd with?
Oh, wow. I forgot to mention this. I guess a birthday party. I have rough letter from Lee's birthday party. It was a couple years ago. That was awesome. Somebody's backyard. I mean, I don't like the word yarder. I was not a fan of that. Still ain't a fan of that. But yeah, somebody hired us for a birthday, and I guess a birthday party. But it was cool. It was a fun time.
Now, Butchie, did you ever have to wrestle at Beer Camp, New Age Wrestling's Beer Camp? Did you ever have to do one of those shows?
I refuse to do that.
Oh man, that would have been...
You missed out, man.
Yeah, you really
out.
Missed out on that one.
But,
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to mention the name, but I have wrestled a different gimmick and heel on issue hardcore. Nothing like Chief McCoy or Defunction, Hanstar, those guys in here are still hardcore, but just tore my body too much and just didn't go that route.
Gotcha. So when people want to say, what's the quintessential Butchie Davis feud, there's a few names that get popped up. One of them is Ann Brookstone. I got to wonder, how did that one start up?
I don't know. Actually, she's the one that had to be on one of the shirts. Actually, it was an ARW show up in Paul Creek, Wisconsin. And she mentioned about never working me, and... I got a lot of respect. Anne's like a little sister. And we come up with a match, and she's saying, duck this, hits me, grab my breast area. And, we'll do this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you sure about this? And actually, long story short, we actually did a bras and panties match for 7RW.
Oh, God.
And... we had, it was taken down by YouTube 3 times. I think the first time it was 10,000 hits.
Okay.
The second time it was 12,000 hits, and I think the next time it was like 20,000 hits. And legit, it was a bras and panties match. Under my gear, I had a woman's nightie and a thong on.
Oh, boy.
And yeah. That's what gets 20,000 hits, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are listening and wondering how to be a YouTube sensation. As you just
Some of my family didn't know I was in pro wrestling, and around Thanksgiving dinner, hey, let's look up our nephew, Butchie Davis, and that's the match in the very religious, and that's the match.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah, they kind of found on that, you know, so...
So that sounds like it was a pretty big moment in your career, I guess, obviously. That's quite a few hits, and, you know, I got to know, with the story career that you've kind of had, you know, is there a moment or something during your career that really sticks out as, you know, something that you that was just really inspirational to you, that really meant a lot to you?
Without getting choked up, I'm changing my character a little bit, you know, and I just don't want to make fun of anybody, but I support a lot of charities, and one is Special Olympics, and a young gentleman has been following me for 10 years of my career. His parents actually said that he wore my shirt for 2 weeks without taking it off, and his grades went up, and got invited to his home, and kind of like a role model for him, so kind of feels good.
You know, Todd, you mentioned a while back here that you ran the first ever WPW, and now most people know what WPW as the show over on the east side of Wisconsin. Actually, oddly enough, the same name, Wisconsin Professional Wrestling. So I got to ask, going from pro wrestler to promoter, What were some of the things that you noticed that were different changes, something that you liked about it, something that maybe you kind of, you know, regret doing about it? Just in general, how was the transition for you?
A lot of stress. WWE started in Black Falls in 2004. What stuff I didn't like is the drama, the politics, the backstabbing, you know, what's in wrestling. I guess in being with your family and stuff like that, and the friendship thing, you know, you got to put friendship and business aside when you run a show, and you do it for the fans, not for somebody's ego or anything like that. You got to do it for the right reason.
No doubt about it. Another thing I wanted to talk to about is that, you know, we're looking at some of your titles, the ones that you've been you've held in the past. And one that I wanted to talk about is the PHPW heavyweight title. That was the first time, and from what you sent us, is the only time you've held the title that was the highest prestige of the company. So it's kind of a two-part question. First, how did it feel even to be receiving the privilege to compete for that belt? And then how did it feel to win it? And how did it feel to be at the top of the mountain for that promotion?
Like I say, you guys said, I'm very humble. I appreciate anything I get. And that day when I won that title, I was very choked up. It was like, wow, I mean, you know, this is the real deal. It was a good feeling that they'd want to put the weight, you know, on my shoulders. And, you know, some people, you know, take me as a joke, you know, and some of the older veterans maybe don't like the Butch Davis gimmick, but, it was very humbled. I was very appreciative of it. It was very good.
Well, currently, Butch Davis, you are the UIWA Midwest Heavyweight Champion, and that's a huge honor right there. UIWA is really growing up before our eyes, really, and becoming a national powerhouse. One of the matches that a lot of people want to always discuss is the Lego death match you had with Kid Riot, Suburbs Wrestling in Winona, Minnesota. I remember we were sitting there ringside, and it was the first time I've ever seen anything like this. I mean, you were very much an innovator of this match, and now people are asking you. They're coming to you and say, hey, Butch, can you bring the Lego death match to our company? I how many more of these things do you have left in you?
maybe one every 5 years. But it's actually hardcore matches. Lego is a new category. If you ever stuck on one, how they feel.
Oh, yeah.
You imagine doing a leg drop on somebody, and the first Lego's match I ever did, I heard we were the only second person in the United States or company at the time that did a Lego's death match, and I had bruises for probably a month from Lego's all over my body. Wow. Real deal, you know, no lie there.
Here's what I want to know. The stuff that you and Connor Riley pulled out of Under the Ring was ridiculous. How many hours went into just simply building some of those things?
A lot of fans build stuff and brought to a show. Something I didn't know that, you know, nobody checked the Legos over, and during the match, somebody handed me a bat, and I kept hitting Connor and over and over. I looked up, I could see blood coming off his head. Oh. He said, quit hitting him. Well, the Legos, somebody super glued the Legos together and taped it.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
And I kept hitting, you know.
What about the sickles there in Winona, right?
Yeah, and then he hit me with a glove somebody made, and he hit me so hard, I mean, it almost knocked me out, but it actually busted his hand open. His knuckle was wide open.
Seems like he was on the
the
bad receiving end of the Legos matchup there. But, you know, one thing in particular, you know, hopefully we see some more Lego matches in the future. I mean, it was one of my favorite matches I've ever called before just because it was so different. But just talking about your career in general, you know, what really keeps you going? Because, you know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, have been in for, you know, a decade, and, you know, sometimes, you know, one thing or another comes up where they might have to take a step back. But, you know, you're still going strong. You just came back from an injury. So I got to know, Butch, you know, what's keeping you going?
Well, number one thing is the fans. I wouldn't be around 10, 12 years at once for the fans, you know. And guys like you guys, you know, I mean, the support in the locker room, the support of the promoters. I mean, it's just the last 10 years I've worked, you know, 23, 24 different companies. It's just, you know. I'm very humbled that people, you know, want to have me on their show.
So, you know, you just mentioned that is that you've worked for or been associated with 23, 24 different promotions. You made the pro debut back in 2004. So I got to ask is that when you broke into the business, what was the number one goal you had for Butchie Davis? And 10 years later, what is your number one goal now?
The goal back then was just to actually be able to wrestle. I mean, you know, a slow start, and then as the wheels got going and people started hearing about me and the respect. I respect a lot of people, and but it's given too. I mean, a lot of the promotions that hurt me is because I'd come 4 or 5 hours early to help set up the ring or, you know, set up posters or whatever. I mean, and now I guess just make it to my next match without getting hurt, I guess, you know. Not getting no younger like anybody, so.
And so the question is, what does the future hold for Butchie Davis?
I don't know. The fans are backing me up. My fans are like my foundation. They're my backbone. They what keeps me going, keeps driving me. So,
you know, that's really commendable, Butch. And you know, I know that you're an avid listener to the podcast, so you always know how these interviews end. If there was one thing you could say to sell independent wrestling, what would it be?
I'd look for cheap entertainment and for a good time. And you know, TNA and Ring of Honor, WWE is great companies, but I'm a big supporter of independent wrestling, and if you hear they're coming to your town, go check them out. It's worth the money.
That's exactly, I think we could all agree with that, and you know what? We can also agree that, hey, we love watching you in the ring, and hopefully we get to see you for, you know, quite some more time down the road, and hey, thanks for coming on today in our Spotlight Squared Circle segment.
Hey guys, thanks for all your support over the years, and thanks for having me on the program tonight.
That was Butchie Davis here on Grapple Talk. We'll be right back with this week's Wrestler's Perspective right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Everybody loves Nathan Gust.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
It sounds stupid coming out of my mouth.
Well, it's definitely a great interview there with Butchie Davis. Yeah. Guys, I gotta admit, it's good to see Butchie still got that same fighting spirit he had 10
right?
years ago.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely good. And, you know, kudos to him. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's been a couple roadblocks in his way the past couple of years. It just seems like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say his body isn't able to keep up with the work, but I mean, you know, he's lost so much weight. He's gotten into great shape, and it seems like, you know, if anything, this might be the prime of his career. I mean, just with how good a shape that he's gotten into. So, I mean, that's really cool, and I know that we're all pretty good friends with Butchie, and, you know, I'm just, you know, really, really glad that he's still going strong.
Well, you know, Butchie's definitely one of those definitions of, you know, having everything get thrown at you and still, you know, keep going. You know, it's like that old Rocky saying, it's not about how hard you can take a hit, it's how many hits you can take and keep going.
Rocky reference, I like
wow,
that.
You
know, that was good. I actually think I got that pretty much like 99% right, too. And that's the thing is that, you know, he's definitely had a lot of emotional pain the past couple of years, but, you know, he keeps doing it. And it's definitely one of those prime things that we see with a lot of guys in this business is that they have a lot of things that break them down, but wrestling is really what kind of keeps them around and keeps them happy. And it's great to see, especially with a guy like Butchie, because, you know, what better guy out there to be deserving of, you know, just happiness?
Well, they say great art comes from great stress, and that's all I'm going to really say about that. So this week on Wrestler's Perspective, it's week 30, and we're kind of running out of questions, but we found a really good one.
This is a good one.
This is a good one.
It's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
So AC Riley, what is your opinion on wrestling video games?
Oh, I love wrestling video games, man.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's interesting because, you know, there was the old school games like No Mercy 64.
Oh. You call that old the old
yeah,
school?
Yeah, he calls it old
school.
I
remember WrestleMania on the NES.
No, oh, I'm saying old school as far as, you know, in today's gaming history, that's pretty old. You got to admit, an N64 is pretty old compared to a PS3.
Okay, N64 right now is what, maybe 16 years old?
16, 15. Okay, okay. I'm going to defend you really quick. In reality, there were a lot of really shitty games between No Mercy and some of the older, like, Super Nintendo, Nintendo wrestling games, because for a while, like, when it was, like, PlayStation and stuff, they came out with, like, WWF Attitude, and those games were garbage, okay?
Oh, those games had something really cool, and that was the Create a Wrestler.
See, what is...
That doesn't matter, man.
Oh, yeah, it totally matters.
Who cares if you can create a wrestler if you can't wrestle in a match? Like, those were so bad.
By the way, I will say that it was really cool one time going to a restaurant and actually having one of those joystick with the two buttons for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You know, it was literally like, you know, playing a fighting game, but it was with wrestlers, and you did... You know, you were able to do more stuff because you hit, like, the B, then you're like, oh, slam or something.
Yeah, they also had Super WrestleMania. I don't know if you guys remember this one.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo was really good.
Taker was in that, right?
They had WrestleMania, the arcade game, which was kind of cool because it was a hybrid between the wrestling video game and, as you were saying, the fighting game. Because the guys would do, like, Undertaker would shoot ghosts at people.
Wait a second. Was this? Yeah, okay. Did they have a Royal Rumble game, too? Was that?
Yeah, I think they actually had a Royal Rumble game,
I think I remember,
too.
You know, in all those old school games, before I was really big into wrestling, when I was big into it, but, you know, I was like, I like the Hardy Boys and stuff like that. You know, they weren't obviously
I'm
that.
Glad you're like, you did it the lady voice, too.
I did the lady
voice. I'm pretty sure that's actually
Hardy
how
boy.
He used to say it, too.
That's how he used to say it, if he remembers correctly. But anyways, you know, I would always be the Undertaker, and I specifically remember playing those games and beating the Undertaker because I was like, this guy's a badass. And I remember him shooting ghosts. I was like, he shoots ghosts out of his hands. Like, how can you beat this guy? But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I will say is about, like, some of the more recent video games for wrestling is that, you know, one of my favorite features of all time is going to be GM mode.
Oh, for sure. I'm right there.
Because, I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, GM mode from, like, SmackDown vs. Raw, like, when it was kind of fresh out, because they had a lot more flexibility. I mean, like, the WWE Universe one with, like, the new WWE games, it's all right, but you feel like there's not as much as freedom. Can you agree with me on that?
Dude, it's like before you even broke into the business, it was like we got to play Fantasy Booker like that. You know that it's I don't know if it's because you reach a level of fandom where you're like, I don't care about like wrestling in the matches. I just want to book the matches at this point. Like it's almost like you reach that next tier because I remember I would get more excited when I'd be setting up my Backlash pay-per-view than I would be playing actual matches in the game, which is, I don't know if it's sad or awesome, but
that's the funny thing. I was right there with you where, you know, if we weren't playing the game, I'd be at home like, all
right,
so this is what I want to do this is what I want to do for all my storyline.
So
and the best part is that if you were doing a storyline and you had, like, for example, you had Kane Undertaker feuding, and then they did some weird thing where they, like, kind of teamed up, and then they fought some other people, you're like, I didn't want you to do that. But you're like, hey, wait a minute, this is still a good idea.
This is still a good idea. I'm going to book a feud, which is kind of weird, by the way, too, because it almost, like, it broke that fourth wall a little bit for little – because, you know, games are kind of geared towards little kids, and it was like, get these writers, book the feuds, who are your heels and your faces, and it's like, this is kind of creeping over the fourth, you know, it's almost kind of knocking down the Berlin Wall a little bit.
Well, a little bit. I think after a while they wanted to add all the flair that you get from, like, an EA Sports game, you know?
Yeah,
because after a while,
like,
it became more or less not just about playing the game. It became about managing the game and stuff like that.
Right.
So with you two, Nick, what's your favorite wrestling video game then?
Oh, great question. You know, I grew up playing my favorite. I'm going to give you three, okay?
All right.
Number one, I'm going to go with WrestleMania 2000
mm-hmm.
for the 64, simply because, you know, I remember that being an awesome game back in the day, and I remember, you know, trying to run, you know, through Road to WrestleMania with Rocky and always just getting pounced by Steve Austin and Triple H, man. I could not beat those guys in that game. Also, another great game.
For the record, while you're talking about WrestleMania 2000, I remember any time that they would be cutting a promo, I'm going to kick your down left AA start. I was thinking, oh, that's a cheat code. I got to use that. And then after, I was like, oh, never mind.
That's
just
terrible.
Yeah, just bleeped
another great game that I really enjoyed was, and it's by the same developers, but I really liked WCW NWO Revenge on the 64 too.
Yep.
Like that was actually that would maybe be number one. But then I'm going to go with Riley, actually. I'm going to go SmackDown versus Raw 2007 because there were three games that had GM mode. They had 06, 07, and 08. 06 by far had the best roster, but it was really hard to book feuds. Like, it was hard to keep them going. 07 had the simpler way of doing it. And 08, it was just like they tried to introduce ECW, and it was like there was only like 30 guys in the game, and it just got all funky. So that was probably one of my favorites, simply because of GMO. But actually playing a game, I think it was hard to beat what THQ did in the late 90s, early 2000s with, you know, No Mercy, WrestleMania, WCW, NWO Revenge, and I think the other one they had was WCW World Tour, I'm not mistaken, if that was what it was.
Classic.
That was a really good one, too, actually. I bought that at Pawn America, like, last year, and I was whooping some ace as Eddie Guerrero, so that was kind of fun.
So, AC Riley, what's your three, since we're doing three, then?
All right. I was just looking up the, one of them, and one of my favorites was WrestleFest that was on the iPhone, because like this is an interesting pick.
This
is when I just got the iPhone. This is when it came out, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, because I kind of want some new games to do, because it's better than like, oh, you know, don't die on the motorcycle or anything like that. And it's, mm-hmm. This one was like, it was almost like, you know, playing a Game Boy on your phone. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. And, you know, I played through all the guys, got all their titles and stuff like that. It was just fun. Even though it was kind of the same, you know, gameplay, it just kind of felt weird doing it, because then you see John Cena do the F5, or you do Stone Cold do the stunner, because they did that animation. I would say the second one would have to be SmackDown vs. Raw 2008. I think, or whatever one it was right before ECW.
Because that was 07.
That was 07? Yeah, 07 was a lot of fun because, you know, GM mode, that was, like, why I played that game. And then I would say my top favorite, as of right now, it's WWE 13, because that's the last one I played of this series. And that was something that, like, especially with WWE 12, where I was trying to get used to the new GM mode. Mm-hmm. And then 13 was a lot of fun just because it had a lot more options. Not to mention, it was kind of fun if Ragnar and I were wrestling each other in the game, and then I would hit the reverse at the right time, and it flowed really well, and then we kind of reversed each other for 5 minutes straight.
Yeah, we'd have, like, five-star matches. See, that was what's fun about Universe, is that GM mode, we wouldn't really play the matches. We'd sim them all and just kind of book stuff. Me and Riley kind of, like, when we got WWE 13, we bought it together, and we kind of, the idea was because, you know, wrestling games, it's more fun if you're playing against somebody, mm-hmm. So, and we were roommates at the time, so it's like, why not? So then, you know, I believe I was SmackDown, and he was Raw or something, and then, like, you know, we'd always be like, hey, I'm going to be Stone Cold, and I want to defend the title against Rocky tonight, and then, you know, in his mind, you know, we'd write our storylines, you know, like, oh, I want Stone Cold to defend tonight, but I'm just a dick. So I'd be like, not in this historic chapter. So then, you know, I'd try to beat him, and we'd have, like, an hour-long WWE 13.
I remember some
match.
Of those matches actually got pretty heated.
They did. It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
Well, that definitely
what about
happens.
You, Jesse? I mean, because you're probably going to name drop a bunch of games I've never even heard of.
Well, you're going to probably, like, name the one that, like, when video games were, like, first ever invented. Yeah, I really like that one. You weren't even alive that time.
Well, actually, one of them is actually for the original Nintendo. It was WrestleMania Steel Cage Challenge. This game was amazing. It was the first time you actually could have a steel cage match. And I remember vividly being about 7 or 8, sitting and playing it on the Nintendo, and doing commentary. Because you didn't have commentary.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So you had Hulk Hogan, and you're taking on IRS. You're like, and he punches IRS in the face, and now he's going up the blue cage, blah, blah, blah. It's a really good lineup. You had about, like, 8 wrestlers. You had IRS, Hogan, I believe Bret Hart, Undertaker was on there. Ted DiBiase, and maybe like 3 others. It was a really good game. Another one that was actually really good is WCW versus the World for PlayStation. Now, this was one of the first ones they actually decided to go 3D. It was from THQ. And it was kind of cool because they had a very small roster of WCW guys, and the rest were legit Japanese wrestlers with different names.
I've never heard of this game before.
This game is amazing.
Is it hard to find in the U.S. or what?
No, you should be able to find WCW versus the World at any Pawn America. They
really?
Have, like, several copies, which I don't understand because that game is amazing. It's actually kind of cool because as you go through, you can beat the light heavyweight section, and you unlock Tiger Mask.
Huh. Oh, nice.
Yeah, and if you beat the super heavyweight section, you unlock Andre the Giant.
Wow, really?
And it's pretty cool because Andre's got this huge fro.
Oh, it's the fro.
And it's kind of cool because it's the PlayStation. They didn't really get the whole graphic smoothing out thing, right? So a guy be throwing a punch, right? And, like, he might get hit, and all of a sudden you see, like, his midsection just open up. And you're like, why is that doing that?
Oh, my God. Not Fist of Steel.
Exactly. And then the last one was probably the one I probably put the most miles and hours into, and that's WWF No Mercy.
Yep, of course.
No Mercy. It got to the point where we were learning how to catch weapons. You would throw weapons at your opponent, and you'd catch them.
Really?
We could sit there and play catch with the steel like the steel stairs, and it was terrible. It got to the point where you turn off pinfalls and submissions and just do nothing but total knockouts.
Without a doubt, one of the best menu musics in the world.
Yeah, and the best thing about those kind of games that THQ made, too, is that if you ever got bored of the roster, you can change everything. Like, you can customize that game to the max. Here's a couple other games for you nutheads out there that I thought were really good as well that I want to mention really quick. If you are really into wrestling managing, make sure you check out, what is that?
EWF.
EWF, yeah. Make sure you check out that. Or what's that new one? TPW, is it? TEP?
TEW.
TEW, yeah. Those are really good games to play. And another one that I thought that was really good that we didn't mention yet was Fire Pro Wrestling. Is that what it's called? Of course, right?
Phenomenal game.
Yeah,
phenomenal
that's a really good one, too. So those are a couple other games that I wanted to mention before you know, if people are actually listening to this right now and being like, oh,
for the record, anybody looking to get those games, be prepared for a very long night. Because, for example, with EWF, I remember that if you wanted to do anything with that, you had to do a lot of prep work. And especially if you were like, I kind of want to do my own thing, you know, like, for example, if you were like, I kind of want to make, like, you know, SWE or 7RW or something like that, you had to make every single character into a point where they weren't, that where they were horrible, but they weren't, like, good enough to be like, screw you, I'm going to the WWE. And you're like, no!
I mean, yeah, because it's a very, because I would play EW, I think it's actually EWR, I think it's Extreme Wrestling Revenge, actually.
Yeah.
But I remember that I would make it, and then I'd put Butchie Davis, and I'd make Butchie's, since he's on here, his charisma just super high, because, you know, that's what we know him for. And then I play 1 week, and it'd be like, Butchie Davis email, it's like, I'm going to go to the WWE. I'm like, dude, I give you opportunity, and you're leaving me?
For the record, when I had Butchie Davis, funny story about him, is that I had him in a feud, and things were going well. Like, oh, yeah, I really like working this guy. And then, like, after 2 months or something like that, I'm actually planning on retiring, so I'll be gone in a month. I'm like, dude, you're like 30. Retiring.
It's a goofy game.
All right, cool. So a couple games you want to avoid, though, if you're a video game fan. Do not play WCW Mayhem. That game is terrible.
Oh, my God. It is the worst game of all time.
All right. WCW Thunder was not that good. The coolest thing about
that
was the video screen where you can actually pick a guy, and you're like, you hit a button, like, circle, and they give you a reason why you should pick him. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen. But other than that, don't play those games, please.
SmackDown Just Bring It is also a bad one.
But it's a fun one, though.
You like that one?
Yes, I did.
It was fun seeing them do the storyline talk like they were
mush,
like,
mush. I got mush in my mouth.
And then if you want one that's going to be super cartoony and doesn't have any real wrestlers in it, Saturday Night Slammers for the Super Nintendo is amazing.
Quick question, since we're actually kind of going off topic a little bit. Have you guys ever played, I think it's called WWE All-Stars, is it? It's kind of like that, it's more of like that kind of cartoony.
Never played it,
newer.
But I've seen the game.
You know what I'm talking about?
Ryan Brown talked really highly about it.
Of course, Ryan Brown talked highly about it. It's Ryan Brown.
I kind of want to check that game out. But, if you want to check out any of the games that we just mentioned, make sure you hit up our Podbean account or our, iTunes. Search for Grapple Talk. Or you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. That's Facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. And Twitter handle is @TheGrappleTalk. And, we'll always shoot, and talk about games and stuff like that because we're all gamers here. But you know what? Another thing we are, and especially you, Jesse, is you are a student of the game, and it's time for this week's tape study. Jesse, what do you got for us?
Well, this week's tape study is, of course, this one's a classic, folks. We talk about ACW quite a bit, but a lot of people forget that ACW has been around for a long, long, long time. They actually had TV up in Green Bay on UPW for the UPN.
We're talking about UPW quite a bit.
Yeah. It used to be on UPN?
Yeah, it used to be on UPN back in 2000 when wrestling was really popular and SmackDown was the biggest hit for UPN.
Yeah.
They decided, hey, let's start actually allowing some of these local, regional, professional wrestling companies to actually have TV time. They ran about 60 episodes on there. You can find those on YouTube. Maybe we'll have them on the show one of these weeks. But this time, we're going to look at a show from January 18th, 2003. It's ACW's Winter Warfare 4. Held in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The main event, four-way dance. It was Dino Bambino, Sam Hain, Colt Cabana, and CM Punk.
Whoa!
Wow. So amazing four-way. Plus, here's some crazy thing. You get to see a lot of guys when they're super young. You get to see a young Dysfunction take on Kevin Kruger.
Really?
You get to see a young Silas Young take on Jay Cash. Now, the cool thing about Jay Cash was his tag team partner at the time, Triple J. We know better as Jared Jack.
What?
Wow.
Get out of town. Of course, Silas Young's tag team partner at the time. Let's see. Loudon Payne. We know him better as Brian Skyline.
Wow.
What?
Yes. We get Adrian Lynch and Cujo, the Dog of War, took on Culture Shock. Now, check this out. Culture Shock was Rob Northwood and Shane Hills. You get to see a very young Shane Hills in a tag team that was similar to the Dudley Boys.
Oh,
it's very interesting. You get to see a very young ODB take on Kendra. I've never actually heard of Kendra before. She was a rookie at this point in time. Guess who the special guest referee was?
Who was that?
Mystique, Sam Haynes' wife. Wow. We're that's really gonna, digging back.
You're blowing my mind here.
We had Straight Edge Eric Hammers, who's actually, he does almost like a, you guys remember the Karate Kid, right?
Yeah,
so he's out there wearing the karate gi and stuff like
is
that.
Is he really?
And he's doing the Straight Edge gimmick because that was really popular at the point in time. Of course, it was one of those gimmicks that he actually lived in real life. Taking on Ken Anderson, who we know better as Mr. Kennedy.
Wow.
Of course, we also had a Sicilian death match, which was Romeo Valentino taking on Vinnie Tortellini. Of course, this was pretty cool because early 2000s, one of the most popular shows, of course, was The Sopranos. So everyone was doing Italian gimmicks. But that match was definitely a straight-up fight.
Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you don't tell me what to do, okay?
So I got to ask. So, like, if you see a face and a heel punch each other, you get the boo and the cheers and all that. So like,
hey.
Somebody, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Yeah, it was a House of Pain song at that point. Of course, we're going to put this up on the Grapple Talk Facebook page. It will be on, of course, the Twitter as well. If you want to check this show out, make sure you go to Indie Wrestling Archive. They got a plenty of stuff there. Of course, we're talking stuff from West Virginia, Kentucky, Jersey All-Pro Wrestling when that was huge. You get to see really the beginnings of independent wrestling as we know it now, especially in the late 90s and early 2000s. It's definitely worth your while. Remember, ACW, Winter Warfare 4.
Well, that's a good recommendation, Jesse. And I think I can speak with AC Riley. Kind of blew my mind a little bit there with all the name references and stuff.
No doubt about it because, I mean, we've talked to a ton of guys that got trained in Shane Hill's Dojo of Pain, as he calls it, and which, by the way, is still an awesome name for.
We gotta get him on the show one of these weeks.
We do, and that's something you might need to talk to him because he talked to you probably more than us. He didn't even have my Facebook account yet. But anyways, moving along. So that's something that you heard a lot from the trainees of Shane Hill's is that it's the House of Pain, aka the place that Ken Anderson came out of. So it's really interesting to just see him on there because it's not just, you hear him on the House of Pain. You actually see him on the card, so it's a lot of more, paper trail, I guess.
Well, definitely. It says something about you can start from the bottom and make it to the top. Like a guy like Silas Young, when you see him, you're like, that can't be the same guy. It totally is. He's probably about 160 pounds in this match, right?
Wow.
He's doing offense similar to Aaron Sacrifice. But it's kind of cool, though. Like Silas Young, 11 years later, changed up his style. He's got a new gimmick. Made it to Ring of Honor, and it was on their first pay-per-view ever, taking on Kevin Steen. That was last week, Sunday. If you get a chance to even check that out, check it out as well. But it says something about hard work and determination could really pay off in the end. And if you could chase your dreams, the sky is the limit.
Wow. I'm pretty sure there's not a better way we could end the show.
I'm kind of choking up right now.
I'm pretty sure there's not a better way we could end the show. That's just me. Is there a better way?
No.
There's not. So thanks, Jesse. You just ended the show. Make sure you tune in next week. We got quite the lineup for next week as well for Nick Ragnar, AC Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden. We will catch you guys later. This has been Grapple Talk. Stay classy, y'all. Well, hey, this next week on Grapple Talk, we are sitting down, and I'm kind of nervous. One bad bitch, Stacy Shadows. She was recently seen on WWE TV, and hey, we got a chance to talk to her.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Stacy Shadows, one of the best female wrestlers in this industry in the Midwest. And definitely breaking ground on Grapple Talk, but better that she breaks ground than breaks all three of our noses.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's going to be a phone interview because if it was in person, we asked the wrong question, she would definitely kick our asses.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know what? If you guys ever want to kick our asses, well, you probably can't. But you can make sure that you tell us that you want to. All you got to do is hit up our social media pages. AC Riley, what do they got to search?
You got facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, and you also have Twitter. Now, this one's a toughie, @TheGrappleTalk.
It's that simple. You can also check us out on Podbean and on iTunes. What do you got to search for, Jesse?
Grapple Talk.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one.
Something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by AC Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
Dream Police were able to, Dick Smash, too many D's in my head. Dick Smash was able to pick up the victory partially.
Oh, this show just got rated PG-13, man.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk all summer long.